Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master show. Today's topic is the modern finance function and a brand new series that we will be starting and running for the next couple of months. So very excited about that. Also very excited about having Tom Kelly on the show today. Tom Kelly from Oracle and NetSuite. Tom, why don't you give a brief introduction of yourself? Although with your long distinguished career, it might be difficult to keep it brief, but please go ahead.
Well, thanks for having me, Anders, and thanks everyone for tuning in. Yeah, I've been working here at Oracle NetSuite for about 7 years now. And prior to that, had my own company for approximately 10 years, doing a lot of CXO work, but primarily putting organizations into the cloud. And before that, I was CFO, CIO for large and small companies alike, going way back to my initial days at KPMG in New York City. So it's been a wild ride. And as some people like to say now, I've gone to the dark side.
We'll see. At least we're excited to get your insights today, Tom, and we'll get back to you with lots of questions. And we'll also have a Q&A in the end for those that might have questions or want to share their perspectives on today's topic. Today's blog post, the title is The Journey to the Modern Finance Function, and it's sponsored by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud ERP that gives you complete visibility and control over your business operations, including financials, inventory, HR, CRM, and more. Over 37,000 organizations have turned to NetSuite to help grow their top and bottom lines. In today's blog post, you can also find a link to the CFO's roadmap to AI and how it could pave a path to success for your business. So definitely go check that out. We'll also leave a link to it in the comments on the event page. Okay, so in our newest blog series, The Modern Finance Function, we're talking about what we've come from as a finance function and how much we've achieved in such a short space of time. So join us today and, of course, in the coming weeks and months as we take a journey through the history of the finance function from the days of pen and paper through the rise of technology, data, and automation. And the reason for having this topic here is that, and you can probably recognize that out there if you sit in a finance function, is that there's a lot of finance transformation going on and has been going on for the past 2 decades, if you ask Tom, maybe even longer. And sometimes it can feel like we're always running towards something in the future, but maybe fail to recognize how far we've come. So that's what we're trying to celebrate here in the Modern Finance article series. So let's try to get into it. So let's try to remember where we come from so we know where we're going. The modern finance function has left the world of bean counters far behind. Finance is now taking on a breadth of responsibilities far outside our home territory and leading other business units when it comes to strategy, technology, innovation, and culture. Having worked with such a diverse range of clients and companies throughout the world, you'd be hard-pressed to find a corporate function that has undergone more rapid change than the finance function itself. We've undergone a remarkable revolution, shaping and being shaped by the business landscape over the decades. Understanding this history is crucial as it allows us to focus on our current state and anticipate future trends. Like many of the world's industries, finance have undergone the analog digital revolution, just as newspapers, the music industry, and television, entertainment, and so on. We challenge you to find another corporate function that has changed as much as finance. The move into this digital era only serves to highlight the resilience and adaptability of the amazing people who make up the function of most companies. So you can say this is a celebration of where we've come to and how far we've come in I think, short period of time. But Tom, you've also been in finance for your entire career almost, except these last few years where you went to the quote-unquote dark side. How would you describe the development of the finance function having undergone during sort of your tenure in the function?
So it's interesting, I'm probably going to date myself, but going back to the mid to late 80s, I'd always see these articles, you know, the CFO needs to be a strategic business partner. And what's been interesting about that is it was a nice thing to say. It was a whole another thing to truly be able to carry it off because, you know, as you use the term bean counter, I used to tell people I don't like to be called that, and that's all I was called. But, you know, it's an unfortunate or maybe fortunate situation for us because we really have two full-time jobs, right? Because the bean counter job, while we may say we're moving beyond that, it's almost an expectation, but it's one of those expectations that most people don't even care about it unless something goes wrong, right? So that's one thing. And be able to leverage technology to almost make that automated to the largest extent, whether it's being compliant with things like revenue recognition or you name whatever regulation you have to adhere to, or doing things quickly as far as transaction processing. But then the flip side of that is where I think we really need to, and we are making inroads, is to truly be that individual who can talk about the business, quote unquote, the language of business, and being able to interpret it for the organization. So who better than us to do that? But we need help in the technological help, finally, I guess, if we go to the late 80s till now, I think it's finally here. And as I think we all know, we'll talk about things like AI today. It's not stopping. It's continuing to grow. It's continuing to expand. And frankly, a hope, you know, for most people who are listening, don't look at that with fear, but look at it with, you know, opportunity and excitement. Because as much as we might like to say, yeah, I can do everything, it's still going to need somebody to drive that bus. So I guess in a lot, you know, in the whole scheme of things, I think we're finally at the point where you truly can be the quote unquote strategic business partner that the organization is clamoring for.
Thanks for sharing those insights, Tom. And it's, of course, someone who spends all this time working with the field of business partnering. It's always fascinating to hear how it's always been the mantra that finance is supposed to be a business partner. Yet here we are 40 years later, if I may say so. And you could probably see an article today as well saying, hey, you know, the CFO needs to be a strategic business partner. And it may feel like to you like we haven't really progressed at all, I guess.
To some degree, yes.
Yeah. So let's see how we can try to address that. But first, let's just take a trip down the memory lane, and then we'll check in with some of Tom's insights later as well. So how do we get here? You know, the journey from pen and paper to large scale ERP systems and beyond that even. So of course, you probably all know the history of the birth of double entry accounting and the manual role in early e-commerce, right? So as long as there's been a written language, there's also been accounting, dating more than 7,000 years back, right? And the real breakthrough, of course, in modern finance came when Luca Pacioli reimagined the structure of common bookkeeping, commonly known as, let's say, the double entry system and the father of accounting. So Pacioli published a book called Summa di Arithmetica Geometria, and then some more Italian that I'm probably not the right person to pronounce anyway, showing the benefits of a double entry bookkeeping system. And the rest is history, as they say, right? Because we're still using that double entry system. So, well, maybe not quite, but we owe a lot of thanks to tradition learned by the monks back then. So while the finance function historically revolved around paper-based manual transactions and processing, and the core functions, including finance, tax, and treasury, the data often lacked dimensionality and scalability, limiting its usefulness to record keeping. The second step kind of is the dawn of computers, of course, in finance and the game-changing role of ERPs. So technology changed finance in less than 70 years from when IBM released its first large computer in the 1950s, based on the vacuum tube, to the launch of generative AI, which is what we are really just talking about these years, right? Or this year, so to speak. Nothing has had as big of an impact on the profession as the modern processor. The introduction of computers marked a significant shift. The early generations of ERP systems like NetSuite began to change the game. They offered dashboarding, data compilation, and business management features, enabling executives to see cross-departmental data, greater speed, and visualization. Then came a tool we probably all know all too well, spreadsheets, and the rise of those in workflow reporting and beyond. So next came the software for harnessing the power of these machines, and our relationship with spreadsheets began the launch of Microsoft Excel. Wasn't the first, but as we know, it's the biggest and dominant today, was a paradigm shift. Finance professionals have always been the first people to adopt new powerful technologies. The software created an electronic foundation for FP&A, saving human energy and time, and vastly improving the availability of data to aid decision-making. Excel and its early competitors revolutionized finance and accounting by introducing speed, visualization, and formula-based rules. So Tom, maybe just staying on that memory lane here, you know, how did the advent of spreadsheets change the finance function that you, as you experienced?
So it's interesting you say memory lane. So the reason why I joined KPMG or why I chose that accounting firm is they were the first ones to, in the 80s, quote unquote, embrace mobile computing and to give everybody a visual, and you can search this and there's a commercial about it. The original Macintosh, right? You know, cube of a computer. It would fit in something that you'd probably see like a DoorDash or a Grubhub food delivery person carrying these. Because I used to schlep that stuff around on the subways in New York, along with, of course, because I was an accountant, the 15-inch carriage printer, which is like similar to probably like a small piano keyboard. So I can only imagine today walking down the subways with that stuff, I'd be tackled because people would thought I'd probably have a bomb. But, you know, it's as part of that, one of the things that we got to do is at the time, there was a product called MultiPlan from Microsoft, and they were beta testing a product called Excel. And I can remember being one of the first people to talk to the product managers at Microsoft as to what was working well and what wasn't working well, and then how they, you know, would add more and more functionality to it. And, you know, to some degree, I hate to say it, but I feel like spreadsheets at the time were almost like a drug, because you could use more of it and you may have thought you were getting more efficient. And perhaps back in the day, comparatively speaking, you were, but obviously fast forward to today, sometimes it's now, I think, as much art and skill to know when to use something like Excel to do certain things, whether it's reporting, whether it's analysis or whatever. So yeah, that's a memory lane thing, but I'm very happy today that I have my MacBook Pro and I'm able to fit it into a very small little briefcase and not have to, you know, improve my biceps by carrying it around. So thanks for that memory there.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Tom. And you're probably right about it being a drug, right? Because you have a whole profession addicted, and it's not just finance professional, obviously extends to other professions as well. And I think we can probably have another talk around, should we try to pull people out of that addiction, or are there some benefits of Excel? But that's probably a 5-hour conversation for another day. So
we'll easily, yeah, easily.
We'll try to leave it there at least for now. But DevServe recognize the impact that Excel and other spreadsheet software has had on the finance function. So moving on from the Excel, then of course we had the groundbreaking cloud, right? So how computers in the sky changed the game. The next stage of our journey takes us from the early days of cloud computing and the democratization of financial tools to real-time access and visualization of data. The move to cloud computing marked another very significant milestone for us as a function. Continued advances in cloud computing and storage, the use of data visualization and tools for interrogating complex financial information, mean that the modern finance function has continued to be on the cutting edge of change and developments. This also meant that we've been the ones breaking down silos between departments and creating data architectures that are made for the entire organization, not just our specific function. We were some of the first to use cloud-based unified systems that replaced earlier ERP generations, which gave us more comprehensive and integrated solutions to offer the business. The benefits of having finance data in the cloud has meant it's automatically stored, archived, and synced with other data streams, which allows us greater control and analysis of relevant data. A real-time game changer, or at least a real game changer, you might say. The other upside of this shift is that it has also brought about a renewed focus on data integrity, visibility, and insights, ensuring that all business systems can interoperate and communicate effectively with one another through APIs and other sort of interfaces. Tom, obviously NetSuite is in the cloud, right? But we've both kind of, you know, now it's up to my days as well, for sure, kind of experienced the cloud revolution. But comparing some of the other changes we've just reviewed, how big of a difference has the advent of cloud been seen from your perspective compared to Excel and first wave of ERP systems and so on?
I think, you know, once people got over the fear of it, so to some degree, when I say fear, it was, you know, putting your data somewhere that you didn't quite have in your, within your four walls, or you could walk to it and touch it. That was surprisingly quite the hurdle to get over, and it took a while. But it's, you know, I think it's as with anything, once that fear subsided, the growth in cloud or the desire for organizations to have applications that reside in the cloud is a big deal. And again, going back to some of my experiences, I can remember one colleague of mine, I would say, hey, you know, I said, technology is an enabler, isn't it? He was like, yeah, oh yeah, it is. And I said, well, why are you inhibiting me from getting anything done? Because there was such like regimented, like don't even move the, you know, tower computer off your desk and, you know, stuff that was just not really bounded, almost like fear-based to some degree. But being able to have this ubiquitous, you know, if you have a high-speed internet connection, you have accessibility to everything. And that means accessibility to be able to close the books and write a journal entry. If I'm on a beach in Hawaii to, I need to pay bills and I'm at a coffee shop. Now, granted, there's obviously you want to make sure you have security and all that good stuff. But I really believe that the cloud, as we're talking about it, to some degree in situations I'm in these days, it doesn't even come up. It's almost as if they kind of give you a funny look when you say, oh, we're 100% cloud-based. They're like, well, of course you are. That's what we would expect. So it's interesting to see the mindset just changes. Just to digress, I remember one presentation I was giving one time. This individual was like, I'm never going to use the cloud. I'm like, okay, you know, that's all right. And then about 5 minutes later, I think I was talking about email, and the person said, we use email to run everything in our business. And so I stopped and I asked the person, I said, so can you tell me something? How does a message in your email go from your inbox to somebody else's inbox? How does that happen? He was kind of looking at me. I'm like, the cloud, you know? So it's interesting. There's also, I think, a little bit of ignorance, or was a little bit of ignorance in the past. So it's nice that that doesn't have to probably go as long as I'm talking about it here when you're, you know, talking about customers using your product.
No, absolutely. And I do think that cloud has become a non-discussion, right? I mean, of course, that's how we operate today. I mean, I remember my first, of course, I've been using probably cloud stuff before that, but really taking a kind of analog/digital solution for travel expenses, where essentially the people in the office would have to fill out on a spreadsheet on a monthly basis, you know, their expenses, and then physically attach their receipts to it. And we are talking, I think, 2013 here. And then we just said, hey, you know, why don't we get a cloud-based tool with an app, and then you can just take photos and whatnot. And everyone was just so happy for making that that transition. And it's like, why did we ever even do it in the old way, right? And I think it's
good. Well, 2013, I could even go to 2016. I was presenting at a conference and I asked people in green to raise their hand who's still submitting expense reports with an Excel spreadsheet and attaching your receipts. And I'm not kidding you, half the room raised their hand. It just, you know, but I bet if we had that conference today, I bet you that number would be like, you know, 10%, you know, yeah, in terms of what the adoption has been. So,
absolutely. I mean, I am part of running a small consulting company, right? And we also have an app, and nothing is paper based, right? So I think that's just how companies are born or built or transformed into today. And it's not something we really question. It's just something we say, well, of course we got to have that. So if we just take the last step taking us up to today, you know, we can talk about the role of data in modern finance and predictive modeling. So much that it's almost impossible to deny that data has become like a new currency in finance, especially when in the realm of artificial intelligence, data is so integral to the robust, fast, and effective operation of AI tools. Having a strong AI offering is becoming a prerequisite, but fewer than 40% of organizations, and this is also courtesy of NetSuite, are currently using data-driven insights. So quite a big gap to bridge there. This is something that we need to take seriously and get to grips with, because many organizations are not taking full advantage of their data and losing out on potential business value and innovation. In addition, now more than ever, the role of the finance executive is evolving to deliver valuable data insights and lead in areas like extended planning analysis, XP&A, that you might have heard about, and turning data into answers to questions to the business need. Part of this has led to the drive and almost determining factor in finance shedding its narrow role as simply accountants, and is now seen as a value generating function where we solve problems and add value far outside of our traditional rep. This includes navigating continuous evolution and offering insight organization across functional value. We are now the marshals of change, having more say in things like ESG, culture, employee experience and retention, working closely with the CIO for technology and systems, integration and implementation, as well as opportunities for shaping strategic business opportunities, and of course, treasury as well. Tom, it's always cool to talk about AI, and we actually just, you know, have run a large series on demystifying AI for finance and accounting. But, you know, mentioned many finance teams today are perhaps not using data-driven insights and AI the way they could be. So how can finance functions bridge the gap from their current state to a state where they truly leverage AI for everything they do in finance, if you have some insights on that?
All right. So I think with AI, you know, it's a matter of having enough data where it's going to make sense. I would suggest that would there be a lot of credence given to machine learning, especially as it relates to accounting, especially as it relates to, you know, processing of transactions, whether that's the automation of accounts payable or cash application, or even, you know, accruals from a journal entry standpoint. There's a list as long as our arm of all the things that you have to do. I would argue, you know, crawl, walk, run, really focus on that stuff, really focus on, you know, the automation and, you know, the accounting processes, if you will, that should free up time now to, you know, not only take advantage of some of the new capabilities of AI, but actually be able to give you the time to digest, internalize, and interpret, you know, and be able to be kind of this, you know, speaking from a position of strength as to what's happening with the organization, what should we do more of, what we should do less of, and more importantly, I think, for what anybody, because we're all human, you know, why are you asking me to do more of one thing or less of another? So I think that's, you know, an important point to make. And from a standpoint of when you say, you know, what should accountants and finance people be doing? I think it goes back to the equation we were just talking about, being able to, again, I don't like to say it's not value added, but the transaction processing that we do or we're accountable for and the way that we do it, I think there is so much capability out there right now that I would implore people to take advantage of it or work hard at, you know, getting it to work for them, whether that's just, you know, banking transactions with your bank, automating an account reconciliation, whether it's your bank account or any, you know, balance sheet account. These are the type of things that I think, you know, the machine learning capabilities / AI will lend themselves to. And once you do that, you build the data and now you have a pretty robust, you know, data set to start looking at, you know, predictive insights to say, you know, my plan that I put together is X, but, you know, the predictive insights is saying, hey, you know, maybe we should be reducing it for whatever the reasons may be, climate, internal information, et cetera. So I think sky's, you know, the limit, but it, you know, again, I go back to crawl, walk, run. There's a lot we can do these days to automate, you know, our day in and day out processes that free us up.
I think that's that makes good sense. Right? Start with the basics and then get using some of these tools here. That, of course, will probably take you a little bit further. And I really like how you mentioned blockchain as well. I remember I was writing articles about blockchain back in 2017. So that's quite some years ago. But maybe I've missed the whole wave of something. But at least I haven't seen blockchain make any kind of impact on business so far. So maybe it'll still come in the future, but today not so much. So definitely good insights there. So just to continue with the route off of the article here, you know, it's really about changing from out of the possible to the science of making it happen. So we should continue to embrace the now and relish the opportunities that exist. The journey of the finance function reflects a continuous adaptation to technological advancements and changing business needs. Most of us have never used pen and paper for accounting. I have drawn some T accounts on paper, I would say, but okay, you know, maybe in school we also did a little bit, but it's nevertheless important to remember the rapid developments we've made by going from manual ledger entries to cloud-based analytics and predictive modeling. Taking a bird's eye view of the progress is important because it helps us realize finance has not only kept pace with the rapid technological and business changes, but also leads the business in innovation and adaptability. We understand our past to predict our future, and history tells us that the trajectory of increased integration, automation, and strategic influence is something to be excited about and interested in, something that sets us apart and gives us a great foundation for the future. But just rounding off, Tom, if I kind of make the statement that we should forget the art of the possible, because anything is possible, so it's more about how you can make it happen. Would you agree to that statement in terms of, you know, the technological development we've seen, or you still think there's something left to be developed there?
I guess I'd follow it up with that I'm not trying to imply I'm a big you know, Star Wars geek, but I love the quote by Yoda, do or do not, there is no try. Because I feel like many times in our lives, I'm going to try. And it's almost as if, well, are you going to do it or are you not going to do it? You know, so don't, the try aspect is almost, to, in my estimation, it gives you a way out. So you commit and you do your best and, you know, sometimes you fail and sometimes you win. But, you know, the whole thing about having resilience, I think, hopefully, outside of being able to understand the numbers and, you know, have good business acumen, I almost feel like having the ability to bounce back from failure is almost probably the most important trait for a finance and accounting professional to have. Because Lord knows, you know, whether it's an analysis or all the way to a ERP implementation, you know, things don't always go as smoothly. And so the question is how resilient you're going to be. And are you going to be a doer? Or you're going to not be a doer?
I think that's very true. I mean, test, fail, learn, right? As long as you learn and improve, then of course you can make mistakes and things can go wrong, but you learn from it and then you make it even better. I think I always say, you know, there's nothing bad about making mistakes. Mistakes, just don't make the same mistake twice, right? Because it kind of shows that we're not learning. But you know, with things moving so fast, things developing so fast, also in the finance function, with now generative AI and other AI tools coming in, you know, all we can do is test them out, see how they work. Maybe we'll fail a little bit. We learn and then we make it better. But if we don't do, you know, if we don't try to test some of these things here, then of course we're not really going anywhere. So good words there, Tom. Tom, any final words you want to share in terms of celebrating how far we've come in terms of the modern finance function, or maybe some word of advice for where we are going to go?
It's one thing. I really would implore organizations and people understand that you need to look at closing of the books of is delivering information to people. And whether that's real time throughout the month or it's at the end of the month, it's quick, it's easier, it's accurate. And you know, NetSuite's one, there's plenty of other options out there. So I'm not going to plug something gratuitously, but if you don't have something that can take all the information, disseminate it, and put it in front of people so that they can react to it and do stuff with it, then I would say you're not being this, you know, finance accounting person of the future. So make sure as you go through this stuff that you're thinking about what the end game is. And the end game isn't just closing the books. The end game is getting the information in people's hands that are going to help drive the business in, you know, whatever direction you want it going in. And more importantly, you can make it actionable for that individual, whether they're in charge of accounts payable and they're in charge of sales or anything in between.
Thanks for sharing those final thoughts, Tom. I mean, get the data in order and then you can do wonders with it. But if you don't have it in order, then you're not really going anywhere, I guess is the summary of that. Tom, big thank you for you coming today, sharing your thoughts from a long career in finance and now with Oracle NetSuite. We truly appreciate that. And thanks a lot to everyone listening in. It's always a pleasure to see you here. We'll continue next week with the topic of the modern finance function, talking about successful or perhaps not successful finance transformations. So I hope to see you there next week. But again, Tom, thanks a lot for being here.
Thanks, Anders. Thanks everyone for listening today. Take care.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?